Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down. We're asking questions. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to this world? I want to be light in this darkness, a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. That's what this show is all about. So glad you could join us today. Years ago, I met a man. His name was Charlie Gilliam from Beckley, West Virginia. Evidently, Charlie was driving his car one day and heard Daily Living on the AM radio. We had just begun broadcasting. And he came to my office and he said, you know what, you need to be on TV. And I thought, I don't know, I got the face for radio, brother. What are you talking about? No, and I'll pay for it. Charlie saw something. Charlie saw something in me that I did not even see myself. And because of his belief, he left you Daily Living. Because we lost Charlie last year to the virus. Took him very quickly. I miss him dearly, think about him every day. This show today is dedicated to his memory. Charlie Gilliam. It's about humility, which is very fitting for Charlie. We're hearing from the Gospel of Luke. On the Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited you both may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man." Then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place so that the host can come to you and say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back, and then you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord, and what a gospel it is. Calling the kids, it's going to be good. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So today we find ourselves in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And our gospel today presents a bit of a challenge. It's not a new challenge. We've talked about this issue a time or two in the past. But for whatever reason, the people who put together our readings, often referred to as the Liturgy of the Word, which we read every Sunday in every Catholic Church, as well as other denominations throughout the world, the people who put these readings together, for whatever reason, sometimes skip things. Sometimes they leave out what just happened, which is often kind of important. Other times they cut the story off before it really ends. because what's coming matters. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining. I'm sure they know what they are doing. I don't want to call from the Vatican. I'm not trying to make waves here, but I bring it up simply to make this point that you really should take the time to read the Word for yourself. Don't just rely on somebody like me to read you snippets. Because the only way you're going to really know the story is if you read the story. Yet the Bible continues to be the best-selling book that nobody reads. It's almost like there's a force out there that is keeping people from reading His Word. Because trust me, there is. But the reality is that God reveals Himself through His Word. So if you want to know the mind of God, you need to read His Word. And if you want to hear from God, you should read it out loud. Today, we are going to be talking about humility. A virtue, dare I say, that is in short supply in a world that is obsessed with the me. Consequently, humility is not held in high esteem. Now, that word, humility, is defined as a modest or low view of one's own importance, which, as I said, in a world that craves a spotlight, is not a popular idea. Like I said, we're in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Scripture scholars have identified the 14th chapter of Luke as a transitional chapter. They will divide the Gospels into two parts, with the Mount of Transfiguration serving as the dividing line. The first part are the teachings and the miracles, and the second part is the mission. Now, by the time you get to our gospel today, we are definitely in the mission part. Jesus has turned His face towards Jerusalem. He knows what's ahead of Him, and it's not pretty. And while I don't think He was afraid of death per se, the dying part, the horrors of the crucifixion? Now that's got to be rattling around in His head. So here's my question. If you were facing your end and you knew it, and as you gather your family or friends around, what would you want to talk about? Wouldn't it be the most important of things? Well, evidently for Jesus, the most important of things is humility, which is what we're going to be talking about today. Our gospel begins in the seventh verse of, well, actually, it starts in the first verse of chapter 14, but then it skips to the seventh verse. Well, let's go ahead and read the beginning of the 14th chapter of Luke. On the Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees. And the people there were observing Him carefully. I bet they were. In front of Him was a man suffering from dropsy. Now, dropsy is a skin condition. Today we call it edema. This is when water builds up in your extremities. Most of the time, it's in your legs. They begin to swell. It's a sign of heart failure. It's very painful. So here we have Jesus. He's dining in the house of a leading Pharisee. And let me tell you, my friends, they're not friends at all. Which kind of makes me wonder why they even made the invitation. But even more so, why Jesus accepted. But I guess He just can't help Himself. Because if we make the invitation, He's going to show up. But like I said, these guys are not fans. They want to discredit Jesus. They want to take Him out. So this guy with the dropsy, he's a plant. He's a setup. They want to see whether Jesus will heal him and thus break rabbinical law. And I love Jesus. I love Jesus in this situation because, of course, He can see right through this. He knows He's being played. He knows what's going on. Does he get up and leave? No, not at all. He stays. Which, got to tell you, I don't think I would have. I mean, really, think about it. If you were invited to a dinner party, and all along you suspected that it wasn't really a sincere invitation, and as soon as you got there, this happens, they bring in some guy with dropsy to test you, I mean, wouldn't you take offense? I mean, I think I would. But was he offended? No, not at all. He simply asked a question. Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath or not? Now, the short answer to that question is no. Remember, we're talking about the law here. They've had it for centuries. And the law is very clear. Any work in any form or fashion is strictly forbidden on the Sabbath, and healing is a work. It's a good work for sure, but a work nonetheless, and therefore not permitted on a Sabbath. Why? Because the Sabbath is a day of rest. You got six other days for everything else, but the Sabbath, no. So, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? No, it's not. But do they say that? No, they keep silent. Which is often the best strategy when you are confronted with the truth. So what does Jesus do? Well, he heals him immediately, dismisses him. Why? Because that's what he does. Then he turns to the religious leaders and he asks, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? They don't say anything. But then he presses them. He says, who of you, if your son or ox falls into a cistern, would not immediately pull them out on the Sabbath day? And you know, that question really makes me smile. I mean, think about it. Your son falls into a ditch. You're going to stand over that ditch and say, oh, sorry, I can't help you. You know, it's a Sabbath. But you hang out. I'll be back at nightfall and we'll pull you out. That would be like Stormy getting caught in a fence and me saying, I know it hurts a little bit, but just hang on there, Stormy. Nightfall is only a few hours away. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk about this gospel here as we try to figure out how we can apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we have Jesus. He is confronting the religious leadership. He has two questions. Is it lawful to heal on a Sabbath? And then he follows it up with, which one of you who had a son or an ox fall into a cistern would not immediately pull them out on the Sabbath day? And he is met with silence. They have no answers because they're stuck between the law and compassion, stuck in tradition, stuck in, well, this is the way we've always done it. Now, as a priest, I run into this quite a bit. And let me tell you, my friends, the tradition of, well, Father, this is the way we've always done it, is a very powerful thing. Tradition is a formidable opponent. I'm reminded of Tevye and the Fiddler of the Roof. Remember that? When he lost his daughter, who he loves more than anything in life, he lost her to tradition. And he sings a song of lament. Because while traditions can be a beautiful thing, they can also bind us up when we allow tradition to become legalism. And legalism elevates the rules over people. Case in point. Once upon a time, there was a prominent family who attended the same church for generations. Their great-grandfathers had laid the foundations of that church. Generations of their children had gone through the Sunday school program. They had raised money and built a really nice parish hall. And this family sat in the front row with a brass nameplate on the pew. Now, this family had a habit of arriving to church right on time. Not a moment late, not a moment early. But you know, I've heard it said, if you're right on time, you're late. And if you're early, you're right on time. So anyway, back to our church. One day, a new family showed up to that church. And they were not aware of the traditions of this particular church. And they came early or right on time, depending on how you look at it. And they took a seat in the front row. Well, Houston, we got a problem. You could hear the murmuring throughout the congregation. What to do? Conversations in the back between the deacon and the ushers. This is a problem. This is a kerfuffle. What are we going to do? Finally, the decision was made that somebody would walk up there and explain to them that they needed to move tradition. Now, what made this even more uncomfortable was by the time they were asked to move, the church was full, forcing this family to do the perp walk to the back of the church. Now, it's worth noting that they were the first visitors that had come to this church for a very, very long time. So let me ask you a question. Do you think they're coming back? Or how about my brother? My brother, he loves his iPad. It's attached to his hip. He takes it everywhere. He uses it for many things. And one of the things he uses it for is a Bible, because technology allows you to do this. So he took his family to a new church, never been there before. And as he's standing in the congregation, holding his iPad open to follow the reading, some man comes up to him and whispers in his ear, "iPads and phones are not allowed in this church." And when my brother protested, showing the man, "Well, these are the readings," the man said, "There's a Bible in your pew," stormed off. And as the man was walking down the aisle, he realized it was the preacher. So let me ask you this. You think he's coming back? This is the problem with religion today. We have allowed tradition to morph into legalism, and we have elevated the rules over people, and we end up driving away the very people we are called to serve. With this idea that if you follow our rules, if you observe our traditions, if you talk like us, if you walk like us, if you look like us, then Jesus is going to love you too. And if you don't, well, then you're on that wide road, buddy. And that is not what Jesus taught. And honestly, we have let traditions become much less about how we feel about ourselves and much more about how other people perceive us. This is precisely what Jesus runs into with the Pharisees and the scribes, who saw themselves as the paragons of holiness because of their strict observance of the law. They were perceived by the people of Israel as the models of righteousness. They were given seats of honor at banquets. People bowed to them in the streets. They were blessed by God, and their attitude was, "Well, if you're not one of us, then you're one of them." And if you hang out with us, then you're on the A team. So to the A team, he addresses this parable. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at table. Now, of course, in the ancient world, and truth be told, it continues today, where you sit at a banquet speaks volumes as to your status. Like the family who sat in the front row of that church. Any banquet has the important guests up front with the host. It was and remains today the place of honor. But more importantly, it is how you are perceived by others. I remember a wedding where the bride had her table up front, but she had moved the groom's mother and father to a second table of honor to make room for her grandparents, whom she adored. Well, let me tell you, that was a big mistake. Big mistake. The groom's mother was incensed. She had been slighted. Oh, the nerve. Wedding drama at its finest. But honestly, I don't think she was all that concerned about how it made her feel, but she was definitely concerned about what others might perceive that slight to be. Jesus says, if someone invites you to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table at a place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you might have been invited, and the host will come and say, give your place to this man. And then with great embarrassment, you will go to the lowest place. Rather, go to the lowest place first and let the host invite you to move to a higher place. And then here it is. This is bumper sticker theology. This is a great refrigerator quote. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And the one who humbles himself will be exalted. My friends, we live in a world that is infected with the center of the universe disease. It's all about me, me, me. Look at me. Consider TikTok. It's wildly popular. For those who might not know what it is, it's this thing on the internet, and it's unbelievable. Let me dance for you. Let me sing for you. Oh, how many hits do I have? Oh, am I popular? Oh, my life has meaning. We live in a culture where it's all about the perception of the other to define who we are. We are so caught up in the perceptions of others. We see this in the word I. Consider how often we use the word I in a sentence, usually followed by some story about how interesting or successful we are. And that, my friend, is dangerous. Instead of worrying about how other people see us, maybe we should start worrying about how God sees us. Are we humble? Are we prideful? Are those two things the opposite? I mean, I don't really know. I don't think so, because the guy who says, I'm really humble, well, he's not. Because he's just thinking about himself. So maybe we need to rework this definition of humility. Instead of having a modest or low view of one's own importance, maybe a better definition of humility would be to simply not think about ourselves at all. Can we do that? And certainly not about what other people think of us. Can we just be comfortable in our own skin? Can we just accept who we are and just be okay with it? Let us allow Christ to be our mirror, not other people. Paul writes in Philippians, second chapter, do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, consider others above yourself, not looking for your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In other words, can I turn off the me channel? Can I get outside of my head for just a moment and consider the needs of other people? I mean, consider the mindset of Jesus himself, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but rather he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. I mean, wow. Can I have that mindset? And if so, where do I start? Well, Jesus is showing us today. We can start by stopping to seek approval and affirmation of other people. This should not be our soul's goal. Let us stop worrying about what other people think about us and ask another question. What does God think of me? I mean, that's really the question, isn't it? Because you know what? It's not about them. And it never was. So, my friends, today Jesus spoke to us about humility. And what did we learn? Well, hopefully we learned that maybe instead of worrying about what everybody else thinks of us, we should be asking the question, what does God think of me? What is God trying to teach me today? The first shall be last, and the last will be first. Let me leave you with the words of the great French philosopher Montaigne. If one only wished to be happy, this could be easily accomplished. But we wish to be happier than other people. And this is always difficult, for we believe others to be happier than they are. My friends, it's not about other people. Let's forget about how others see us. Let us have a conversation with the mirror and ask, how does God see me? You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin, swinging the bat of truth. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.